Scripture is 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load.
Well, I want to thank each one of you for being present this evening. And I thank the elders for allowing me to present the lesson this evening. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things. And on the board, it's things you'll never be sorry for. We'll get to that in a little bit. But to start with, I would like to thank each one of you for being here this evening. The lesson that I'm going to bring on the things that you'll never be sorry for is a lesson that, or is an article that I read several years ago. And it stuck with me and made me get to thinking that maybe some of you are not familiar with this. Maybe some of you are, but if you're not, then I pray that this will make an impression on you also. This lesson that I'm going to preach tonight will not get you into heaven. I'll tell you that right now. But it will lead you to the door of heaven. And in the book of John, the 10th chapter, and verse 9, it tells us about that door. And it says, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now in this life, we have two ways that we could go. We could either go and serve God or serve Satan. This is the only two options we have. And when this life is over, we won't have that option. The end of this life will determine where we are going to spend eternity. And that will either be in heaven with the peace of God or in hell, burning with Satan forever. And this, at that time, cannot be changed. Now, if you are a faithful Christian, serving God as He has commanded and instructed, then heaven will be your home. But if you are not a Christian, well, that situation can be remedied by learning life's greatest lesson. Now I would like to read life's greatest lesson if you're not familiar with it. Many people live and die without ever learning the greatest lesson in life. Solomon learned it over time in his pursuits to learn what profit a man had in all his labors under the sun. And after traveling down many different roads, he discovered that without God, they were just all dead-end roads. This was true of the road to pleasure, to wealth, to power, and to all other roads in life. With God out of the picture, they were all just trivial pursuits. But with God in the picture, Solomon came to a completely different conclusion. He learned that life was a gift from God, which God gave to man to be enjoyed with due reverence and with regard for God and His will for one's life. He summarized his entire journey in life thusly. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. That comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, as I'm sure most all of us know, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Fearing God and keeping His commandments was a lesson that the Israelites who fell in the wilderness wanderings never learned when the Lord brought them out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness and they refused to obey God, then they did not learn that lesson. And Moses pleaded with their children to learn this greatest lesson of life. Now, we're not going to take the time to read this because there's quite a bit of it, but when you have the opportunity in the spare time, I would recommend that you look in the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 4, and scriptures from that point on deal with Moses talking, talking about the children and to get them to learn the greatest lesson of life. For us, fearing God and keeping His commandments involves reverencing and respecting Christ and obeying His will. In the book of John, the 6th chapter, and verse 44 and 45, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. It is impossible for one to turn his back on Christ without turning his back on God also." And in the book of John, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23, it says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. For all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Believing and obeying Christ is accomplished by believing and obeying the gospel of Christ. In the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verses 18 through 20, the scripture reads, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse 15 and 16, "And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew, who believes for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Jesus gives those who obey him rest for their weary, sin-burdened souls. In Matthew, still, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, here it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 23, Ephesians 4, verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." In Christ, one can rejoice always. The book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." His pains and his sufferings are just as real as those experienced by people that are out of Christ, but the Christian has the wherewithal to deal with them. He or she knows they are temporary, and none of them will exist in the eternal bliss of heaven. In Romans 8 and verse 18, it says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which he will be revealed in us." He or she knows that they are temporary. And Romans 8:18 that we just read, and relying on Christ is the key, as Paul said in the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter at verse 13, where Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Brethren, I beg of you, please don't let true life pass you by. Learn life's greatest lesson. It will do so much good for you. You will be much happier and able to live in this life and to serve our Lord and God. the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, the second chapter, one that most all of us all know, part of it at least by heart. Here he says it beginning with verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And I might add here, if 3,000 souls that day were added, it's hard to tell how many people were there listening to the Apostle Peter, but there had to be a monstrous group of them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, I told you earlier that I wanted to present to you an article that I had read. The article is This article that I want to share with you at this time is Things You Will Never Be Sorry For. For I have a list here of the things that we are going to discuss, but I'm going to tell you right now, by no means is this a complete list of everything. It's comparatively very, very short. And as you go through life, you could add many things to this. But this will give you the idea, I hope and pray, that you will be able to come up with things of your own. And for the first item, I don't know what I'm doing here, but what am I doing now? Okay. Oh boy. Okay, the first thing is for telling the truth. This is found in the book of Psalms, in the 15th chapter, and verse 2. It said, He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now, I got just a little bit ahead of myself here because I wanted to let you know also that I have given you the scripture, and I've narrowed it, the scriptures down to only one scripture per item. And the reason for this is because of the amount of scriptures that deal with each item. And one scripture is enough to suffice that this is the truth. The next one is for living a pure life. It's 1 Timothy 5 and verse 2. Verse 22, I'm sorry. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. The third item is for your faith in Christ. And this is found in Ephesians, the second chapter and verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. For acknowledging your sins. 1 John 1 and verse 8, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. The fifth one is for doing your very best. And this is something that we all need to work on. This is something that we need to do to the very best of our abilities, is do the best we can. And that is found in the book of Numbers, the sixth chapter and verse 24. And it's a very small scripture. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. For thinking before acting, something that we all need to consider very seriously. In Proverbs 22 and verse 9, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For hearing before judging. And the scripture says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For forgiving your enemies, Colossians 3 and verse 13. Here it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ Jesus forgave you, so you also must do. For helping a fallen brother. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus told Peter, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. It's a lot of forgiving. For being loyal to the church, in Colossians 1 and verse 24, it says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. For standing by your principles. The scripture is Hebrews 13 and verse 18. It says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. For being courteous and kind. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For being honest in business, and I might say that I have been in business myself for many years, and I agree with this, but I'm going back to the one that we had before about standing by your principles. And if you stand by your principles, and if you're honest in business, then you can make it. It's well worthwhile to do that. And I use the same scripture in Hebrews 13 and verse 18, where it says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. And the last one is for money given to the Lord's cause. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 7, it says, so let each give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'd like to bring the lesson down now to a short sermon, and the title of it is The Sermon You Preach. Now, there isn't a word that a preacher can say, no matter how lovely or true, nor is there a prayer that his eager lips pray that can preach a sermon as you. You vowed to serve Christ, and men know that you did. They're watching the things that you do. There isn't one action of yours that is hid. Men are watching and studying you. You say you're no preacher. Yes, but you preach a wonderful sermon each day. The acts of your life are the things which you teach. It isn't the things that you say. So Christians, remember, you bear his dear name. Your lives are for others to view. You are living examples. Men praise you or blame, and measure all Christians by you. In the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 26, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There is no greater responsibility than that of making your life right with God. The wise man Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments that we read earlier from the book of Ecclesiastes. And after all has been said and done, the only thing that will count in the day of judgment is whether you have respected God enough to do what he says. All things are ready. We are here to help you to become a Christian if you're not. If you are and have drifted away, then we're here to help you get returned to God. This is something that we would be more than happy and delighted to be able to do. But we can't do it without you. You have to be the one to make the decision whether you are going to return to God and live your life as he has commanded, or whether you're going to continue to be as you are. If there is anyone here that has need either to be baptized or to repent and return to God, we're going to sing a song in just a little bit to help you, to encourage you, and to pray that you will be able to make the right decisions and do the right things. And this is something that you have to do. We're here to help, but that's all we can do. So if you are subject in any way, if you would please come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.